The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. The second half of the show is live here on a Wednesday. Many of you saw earlier today the Pro Day coverage on the SEC Network at Georgia. Matt Stinchcomb was there. We want to talk about the Dogs, spring ball, and what's ahead. But, Matt, before we get to that, I know you've been talking about it all day, but your treetop takeaway from Pro Day, other than a lot of great players, about to head to the NFL.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent that they're going to have to replace on that national championship team. I mean, that's the long and short of it. It's going to be really difficult, too, because you're talking about some unique talents, too. You know, like a Trayvon Walker, you know, you just don't build them like that very often. And this is a guy that's a true defensive end that can do just about everything, did all the linebacker drills today and looked good doing it. I think that's a piece of it. I think what's overlooked, though, as well, is that you're also talking about the top two running backs. They're no longer going to be available, James Cook and Zamir White, both who I think their contributions were probably or maybe in some ways overlooked or underappreciated. And then the role that Jamari Salyer played, not only at tackle but even in that title game, you know, flipping inside and playing right guard, his versatility and his talent, that's definitely going to be missed, because it's not only replacing really just that one position, but the ability to have a guy that can flex inside the way that he can. And of course, you know, George Pickens, who, you know, for the entirety of the season and really played a big role in the postseason, of course, but for the entirety of the season, you know, Georgia didn't know any world other than an offense without a George Pickens, but also another guy that, you know, demonstrated that he's more than just a big body in the route tree. He's a guy that can get separation. He likes to block on the perimeter. As well as Georgia has recruited, I think this will be a great opportunity this year, especially defensively, to find out not only how well is it recruited, but how well is it developed that second line, third line players that are just waiting for their turn to now get on the field and see more playing time. Talking to those guys today, they all feel as if they've got plenty of talent left amongst their teammates or soon-to-be former teammates that will still be remaining in Athens. But the big takeaway is that this defense that Georgia had, it was not only special statistically, but individually, when you look at the contributions from each one of those players, you put them on any other unit, and they were going to stand out. That's just how good they really were from a talent level standpoint.
Talking to Matt Stinchcomb, so Matt, let's flip it ahead, spring ball and then the season. The expectations are going to be ridiculously high because of what happened last year. You're a realist, even though you understand the game intricately. What is this team capable of winning it all again? And if so, how?
I think it will be. I don't think it will be at the beginning of the season. And I think it's going to be one of those you're going to have to grow as you go type years. Because there's just too many unknowns. Now, the question will be, you know, is Georgia now at the level where we've, you know, probably assessed Alabama in the past? You see the first game right out of the trap. You're going to be facing your former defensive coordinator, Dan Lanning, now the head coach there at Oregon. You know, but otherwise, you look at the slate of teams, right, and you know, are a lot of these teams giving you a big headache? It's not like you're opening the season versus a Clemson, where we didn't know that Clemson was going to have the kind of year that they did, subpar at best, in 2021. But Oregon under year one head coach, Florida year one head coach, Auburn year two, and boy, there's not a ton of momentum there. I mean, you look at the teams and you're going, Georgia should win the East. And if they can win the East and peak at the right time, you know, who knows? A lot can happen. If you can contend for a conference championship in the SEC, then you've got yourself a real good chance of wiggling your way into the college football playoff, whether you win the conference championship or not, as evidenced in the past, previously only with Alabama, and now you can add the University of Georgia as well as a college football playoff participant as a non-conference champion.
Matt, beyond Georgia, people love Kentucky, and why not when you consider what Mark Stoops has done? But do you think they are the next contender on that side?
In the East, I think the closest approximation. Obviously, they're, of course, undergoing their transition offensively with Liam Cohen going back to the NFL and joined the LA Rams. So, what does that look like going forward for the Wildcats? A team that, as you mentioned, Coach Stoops has done a phenomenal job. It's the consistency that he's been able to establish, not just the 10 wins in a season, 2018 being the previous one as well, but to be an attractive enough program to garner the interest of transfers like a Will Levis, like a Wandale Robinson. Can they maintain that momentum? What's the next version of the development that they've had defensively, a unit that played over its head a lot this past year, but without a Josh Pascal, a guy that was more than just disruptive. What does that look like for them this season? But, yeah, I think you put Kentucky there. I think that what Josh Heupel was able to do in year one, especially offensively at Tennessee, was really nothing short of spectacular, frankly. I mean, that team gave a lot of other programs a great deal of difficulty, and he did it in short order. I mean, we're talking about a relatively moribund program on the offensive side of the ball that became a really fun unit to watch and one that could pile up points. They still shouldn't be, within shouting distance of where Georgia is in the East. So to me, unless something drastic happens, they have to be your favorite in that East division. And albeit in a year where they're going to have to retool, that's where you'll find out, are they on that level that Alabama's been able to establish, where it's every year that you think that the Tide had hemorrhaged so much talent that this has got to be the year where they recede and they just pop up a whole new row of players that were similar, if not better, than their predecessors. That'll be a tough thing for Georgia to do, especially defensively, given the kind of unit that they fielded in 2021.
Matt, on the other side, we've already answered the Alabama question. It seems likely that there will be some contenders for that next role. Is it A&M? Is it Arkansas? Does somebody like LSU come out of the pack, or are we missing someone?
Yeah, of those, I think you named the most likely contenders. What does Ole Miss look like under Lane Kiffin? This is a season where, there was a scenario even in the waning games of the year, back into the season, where Ole Miss still could have found a way to win the division, and it wasn't as it seemingly was far fetched a season ago that they could win the division, and it darn near happened. With an Arkansas victory over Alabama, Auburn victory over Alabama, and you're sitting there going, how does that happen? Well, it almost did. So I think you could throw in the Rebels there, especially given their activity in the transfer portal. I think it's been relatively well documented. And, the fact that you've got a coaching staff and certainly an offensive-minded coach in Lane Kiffin that's been able to find ways to generate points and do so in a manner that's threatening enough to the Blue Bloods. We're talking about a program that hasn't won a division championship since, 99, I want to say, maybe, back in the Eli Manning days, and it was a shared division championship at that. So I think you can throw the Rebels in there. Obviously, you're one under Brian Kelly at LSU. What does that look like? Transitioning at quarterback once again, plenty of talent that's left that program as well, especially defensively. So there's just enough year one coaches, I think, in the conference. You look at the East, you look at the West, and what should be a contender, or at least a perennial one in LSU, are they going to be able to pop their head up and contend in the West Division? I'll be shocked if we don't see a redux in what we saw this past year at the conference level anyway in Alabama and Georgia, meeting in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium at the end of the season for the conference championship.
Great stuff. Matt Stinchcomb all day long on Georgia Day and, of course, Pro Day, and, of course, looking ahead to the upcoming season. We're heading to the break. Thank you very much, Matt. Always enjoy it. We're going to get your phone calls and Hunter Yurecek in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. Ed is up next in South Carolina.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
Ed.
Hey, before I ask my question, what happened to Millie? Is she still around?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years since we've heard from Millie, so hopefully she is doing okay. We heard from her in the middle of COVID. She was not doing well, but that is the last I have heard.
That doesn't sound good, does it? Hey, but let me ask you a question. Would you not agree that the grind of the regular season means so much more than these conference tournaments? Like, A&M lost 8 games in a row during the regular season, and they got hot during the, for 3 games, whatever, and they still got beat by 15 points in the championship game. The regular season should mean so much more than these conference tournaments.
Well, the conference tournaments have a purpose, but their primary purpose is to give teams an opportunity to win and get an automatic berth. But beyond that, it's been proven that they don't have much effect if you are not fighting for an automatic berth.
Right. It's all about the lower teams maybe winning the tournament. Okay. And money, of course, the money is always involved too. But
sure.
But I get so tired of these people complaining about I didn't make it. What? A&M does not deserve to be there.
Well, whether they do or not, it really, at this point, is a moot point. It doesn't matter.
It is. You're right. It really makes no difference. It really doesn't. It's like college football. If they win 24 teams in college football, there'd be a couple teams saying, we should have made it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're A&M and you finish fifth and you miss the college football playoff by one. It's another thing if you had a chance. If you win the game, you're in. I sat there with Coach Williams on Friday, and I give him all the credit in the world, but ultimately they screwed up in the middle of the season. You can't lose those as many games as they did.
Exactly right. 8 in a row. Sure, that they're better than a lot of teams in the tournament. Absolutely, a lot of teams are better than a lot of teams in the tournament. But that's just the way the system works,
And besides, they would have still had to have a play. They would have been in the play-in game.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for them, but let's not act like you were burned out of your house. You had a chance and you didn't do it.
Exactly. So quit crying about it. That's the way it works.
That's sports.
You weren't that good. Right?
It's that simple, unfortunately. Pat is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Pat. Pat, you there? Pat, going once, twice, sold to Garth in Tennessee. Hello, Garth.
Hey, Paul, I want to get your opinion. I might be way off base on this, but I'm old enough. I saw Archie Manning play football in person in college. And then Peyton comes along, and then Eli comes along. I'm 75 years old, and I can't think of another more prominent sports family in the country. Can you?
No, well, I don't think.
And the Mannings?
Well, you in one family, you've had really an All-American quarterback in Archie, and then two guys who were both the number one player taken in the NFL draft. There have been some fantastic families that have had 3 or 4 players all start at Notre Dame or maybe play in the NFL. But no, it's justified. They're college football and pro football royalty.
But what bothers me is that they got his whole family involved in pimp and gam, and that doesn't fit with that family.
What you're talking about is, I think they're doing advertisements for somebody, Caesar. I really don't know who it is gamble, but they have a big time contract with a Vegas.
Do you know whether they have a piece of that action or not?
I don't know anything about it. I really don't. I just know that gambling is sports betting is taking over almost every industry. We've seen it now in the NFL, college football. It's on the periphery, and Thursday and Friday are two of the biggest betting days in the year. You probably couldn't get into Las Vegas right now.
Yeah, I know, but it just doesn't make sense for me from the Manning. I mean, their legacy is going to be 20 years from now.
So Garth, my question back to you is, I've never heard anybody else bring this up. Why is it bothering you that they are, as a family, representing a gambling casino?
Because I've got so much respect for the Mannings. And gambling is it was in the past, it was now, it will be in the future. That's run by a bunch of unsavory characters.
Well, but the NFL is in bed with gambling.
I know they are.
I mean, I mean, college football and college athletics probably is missing out on billions of dollars by not being. But college athletics wants to act like all those things don't exist. So. That's their problem.
Well, it matters to me that it's the Mannings.
I've had opportunities to do that kind of thing for sums of money. I don't want to because to me there is a wholesome there's a pureness of college athletics that I deal with primarily. But I don't fault them for doing that. They're all pro football people. They are just going where the money is right now. Not that they need it.
They don't need the money. But that's
a difficult thing to say. A lot of people don't need the money, but they keep taking it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
It's a complex issue. I don't fault them for doing it. I don't think it's going. I mean, I think it's a personal choice. In my case, I like doing what I'm doing. I'd rather do this than, represent a sports gambling company and be promoting that as opposed to doing what we do. But a lot of other people have made significantly more money than any of us here are ever going to make by doing that. That's where the action is right now. Now, why they chose to do it, I don't know. Peyton and Eli together have made gobs of money. Archie Manning didn't while he played football, but I'm sure he's made a couple of bucks since then. Ben is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've got a very bizarre question. When I was a kid, I had a history teacher, and he absolutely adored the fact that you would do the I Beat Feinbaum things with the Birmingham Post-Herald.
Oh, yeah. So what...
Do you remember that?
I do. I'll never forget. I got home to see my mom one day, and I pulled in the driveway, and on the back of her car, there was a bumper sticker that said, I Beat Feinbaum.
By the way, in my mind, that
was literal. I mean, she didn't have to beat me in a pick contest. The funny story is the newspaper put that out. So I would make predictions every Saturday morning or whatever it was. And if you got more right than I did, and I took it very seriously. So for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, I was killing it. Nobody was beating me. And then one week, the bottom fell out, as it always does. And everybody in town suddenly had a bumper sticker. And I started thinking to myself, is it better if everybody has a bumper sticker on their car on the interstate or for me to look like I know something about college football? So I will tell you, I pulled back a little bit on some of the predictions. And I think we ran out of bumper stickers very quickly.
Well, I had a history professor, and it was, honest to God, it was sacramental. If he beat you,
right,
he would, you know, open the thing. Hey, it was like this long drawn out thing. But you couldn't have done that, but for 2 years or so.
Well, Here's the truth. The newspaper was in financial trouble, and I don't think they could afford to do any more bumper stickers. they said, "Hey, this is a great. We don't need to promote this guy anymore. We need to balance the books at the end of the month so we can pay the bills for the ink."
Well, this guy, he was that's a big funny. Florida fan, and everybody's got their faults. But
that's hilarious.
I just remember that, and
you have a great memory. We're talking now 30, 35 years at least.
Oh, maybe
more.
This had to be 90.
Yeah, somewhere around
89.
I think you're right. Ben, thanks for the call. Great memories. That's hilarious. I beat Feinbaum. There was also a Paul Feinbaum dartboard, and there was like one left at a hot dog stand in Homewood, Alabama. I don't even know if I have one anymore, but we are coming back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hunter Yerichek of Arkansas, one of the top athletic directors in the country, in fact, he was just awarded that, will join us at the top of the next hour. Big Dave is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hello, Big Dave.
Hey, Paul, listen, I want to say the show is at the top of its game right now. I mean, it's extremely entertaining, man. I mean, you've got some callers that are absolutely bringing the heat every day. Legend is being legendary. I mean, he's a one-man show. He's a cleanup hitter that hits the grand slam at the bottom of the ninth inning to win the game. Jim is at the top of his game, whatever his game is. Squirrel, Augie, Joe.
Once we find that out, we'll let you know.
Man, but let me ask you a question. What the hell has happened to I-Man? I mean, why? I mean, the guy, it's awful to try to listen to him talk, man. I mean, he used to be somewhat entertaining. He never was really entertaining. Somewhat entertaining, but now when I see his name pop up on the screen, I mean, it's like getting called back into the dentist office. I mean, can't you pull his credentials?
By the way, I've taken out four wisdom teeth. I'm going to do, the root canal I've already done, but I'm just going to start pulling teeth at random. Yeah, I hear you. I don't know what's happened to him, man. I do not know. I'm concerned for his mental well-being. He does seem a little bit rattled right now.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad. Anyway, enjoying the show. Peace out. Y'all have a great day.
You got it. Peace, love, brother. Richard is up next. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well.
I called you a few years ago when the COVID deal came out. I'm a retired principal and high school football coach over here in Texas. Have got a lot of ties in Louisiana because I coached football over there for several years before I got smart and came to Texas, because they pay so much better. But anyway, Ms. Gallo is dead on in what you said a while ago. You know, I think it was 2017. I think I'm right about that year. When we heard the wiretap and everything about LSU and about Will Wade. I mean, not LSU, but Will Wade right. on the wiretap. They did contact, you know, the FBI and wanted the evidence, and they would not turn it over to them. So they, you know, met with Will Wade. They did suspend him, I think, for 10 days, or I don't know exactly. It's been a while ago.
Well, no, he missed the SEC basketball tournament and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But let me finish here. But what they did do, they made him sign an agreement that if the FBI turned over their evidence or if the NCAA sent him a notice of allegations, that he would be fired immediately. Well, why did it take the NCAA all this time to send a notice of allegations? I don't know why. Maybe you know. You know more about the NCAA than I do. So I think that's the reason. I think and she was right when the gentleman said that there had to be a due process to go through. And as I understand it, the due process was gathering information, gathering evidence, some of the evidence they couldn't gather. And then they could, like I say, the NCAA didn't turn in the notice of allegations until last week, and they popped him. Now, I'm not going to say that they didn't back him. I'm not going to say the Board of Regents didn't, you know, want him to keep his job. I'm not going to say all that because, as you said on your TV show a while ago, he has been doing a good job. What he did was horrible. There's no doubt about it. And there's no place in college athletics for that. But those were the reasons, I think, why he wasn't let go immediately and why it took so long. It was the evidence they were trying to get to do it. And it just took so long to get that evidence. What do you think?
Yeah, Richard, you're correct. And even if there was a group who was trying to keep him, it really doesn't matter because the university, once it committed to retaining him under the guise of the new contract, were in many ways stuck with him until this report came in.
Well, that's correct. And everybody's really making LSU look bad. But I think they're pretty well caught.
One other thing, though, here's the concern I have, and I think they need to be concerned about. And it's, you know, Scott Woodward is fairly new to the job, but one of the allegations is about the culture down there. And regardless of this, there are other issues within that program that, even though they may not be directly tied to this, the NCAA is a dangerous organization when they open up a case. So I think basketball will suffer. I don't think the university will suffer very much beyond that, but it could be problematic, but that's easy to say.
Okay, but now remember now, all of the Title IX investigations, all of the other investigations, the lawsuits and stuff like that, except for one player.
Yeah,
those were things that went on during the Les Miles era. That was over 10 years ago.
No, you're right. But by the way,
okay.
Anytime you want to do NCAA calculus, just don't forget.
You're right.
Don't forget the Penn State case when they literally shut a program down and they never committed a single NCAA violation.
That's true. And if you remember, though, those attorneys would not let them do that, or at least they advised them not to do that. So, I mean, what are you going to do? It's just kind of, if I hire you to do an investigation and you're my attorney and you come back and tell me, hey, man, you can't do that.
Well, no.
You're going to lose in court?
Yeah,
what
sure.
are you going to do? You're not going to fire him. You can't.
You're right. And you've probably been through it before as a coach. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I mean, there's no doubt Les Miles is wrong. He embarrassed us. There's no doubt about it. Will Wade has certainly embarrassed the university, certainly embarrassed us. But at the time, in that respect, their hands were tied, and they did it when they got the notice of allegations, you know? That's all I can say, Paul.
No, you're right. Richard, most of us have been through some type of investigation, and whether it's internal, whether it's HR, whether it's civil, whether it's criminal, and the response from your supervisors is always the same. Shut up. Don't say a word. We can't do anything. Our hands are tied. And that's what – but all I'm saying is this. If this was the only thing that had ever happened in Baton Rouge, it would be one thing. But we all know that the culture of that athletic department has been permeating through the air for many, many years, going back to Les Miles, and that needs to be rectified, though, so it doesn't ever happen again. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Ranger is in Tennessee. You're on the air. Hello, Ranger.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You had me sitting on the edge of my seat just a little while ago when Grandpa called in, and I was hoping that you would start coughing, because that's not a club I want to be exclusive to.
To
make you just start coughing, and I hope Grandpa gets to feeling better.
Yeah, bronchitis is nothing to snicker at. I was about to say sneeze, but that's self-explanatory.
Yeah, that and the pneumonia still seem to be battling, and I just appreciate you having Stench on it. He has such a high football IQ. And,
he really does.
Unbiased, and I could listen to him forever. And
Stench is the most non-football sounding analyst that I've ever spoken to.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% there, and I've enjoyed listening to him. I had a question regarding the NCAA. Back in 92, I was coming back from the first war in Iraq to Fort Hood in Texas, and I was wanting to buy a Tennessee hat, and I would go into these shops and ask for a UT hat, and of course, they were giving me Texas hats, and I don't know, that's not what I want. Anyway, one of the owners, and it was I don't remember the name of the store, but it was a big brand store. And he told me that the NCAA had a agreement or rule or whatever you want to call it, that merchandise-wise, anything west of the Mississippi considered UT is University of Texas. Anything east of the Mississippi, called UT, refers to the University of Tennessee. And I was wondering if you had heard anything, have any insight as Texas will become
the SEC. I have never
heard
that before, and I'll show my absolute bias here, Ranger, but there's only one UT in my life, and that's the University
Absolutely.
Of Tennessee.
Absolutely. Well, I was
those
just
folks
curious.
In Texas can just—they can change it to TU, as far as I'm concerned.
They can be the Washington football team.
Hey, or the upside down. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We will come back. Connor, you're a check in about 25 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. Hunter Yurecek coming up in a minute. Well, this is we're down to the final few minutes of voting in the caller bracket. Got a couple of contests. And the biggest upset right now, Cat Daddy leading Jeff. Looks like Squirrel is going to move on. Larry and Handsome Joe are in a battle royale. Charles has put away Cheerleader. Let's continue. And how about Robert is up next. Hey, Robert.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi there.
As you've talked about the Will Wade situation, and I think for years and years people wondered if this money under the table, pay for play, was a reality. And this comes to light. whether it be the shoe companies or the boosters, $300,000 is a lot of money to come up for one player. And then on top of that, you're trying to pay off a girlfriend to keep her mouth closed. Where do you think this money is coming from? Is it the shoe companies? Is it boosters? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, I think you have to start with the former. But it's probably a little bit of both. But it's hard to get that kind of cash from boosters for a basketball player.
I understand that, and that's why it's just hard to believe with all the things that's gone on at LSU and other places. Believe me, they're not the only ones. But $300,000 for one player, that's a steep price for one. And the other question I had is the visa issue. Now that could bring is that a federal issue, trying to pay somebody or having connections to the immigration service to get visas for those players?
I would think so. You're talking, that goes way beyond the state border.
Yeah. And then as he's reworked his contract and did away with the performance bonuses and agreed to be, if found guilty or charged, it could be fired. Do you not think the university within 2 years could have figured out whether this was happening?
They had to know.
There's
always communication going back and forth. They would know where the investigation had centered. But I think they just made a decision from a liability standpoint. We have a contract with this guy, and we're not going to do anything until this hammer drops. And they took 3 days, I think, once the hammer dropped. But it was inevitable that he was going to get fired, I thought. Now, it's interesting that a week ago I had a national guest on who didn't see it the same way because the standards are so different. Now, what Will Wade is accused of is pre-NIL. Now the line is so blurry that it's more difficult to make this happen. Thank you very, very much for the call. Do appreciate it. Rocky is calling next. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there. Nice of you to call.
Well, I have not heard all the show, as many people do that call you, I'm sure, but I'm just wondering about the Nehru jacket, Paul.
I am going back to the 60s here.
Yes, you are. 60s and very early 70s. And
yeah.
I wondered, we can't see below the desk there, but do you have your platform shoes on too?
I do. I'm going to go ahead and go full Nehru jacket on you here, because back in the late 60s, early 70s, you're right. You saw a lot of rockers wear outfits like this. I have seen some British entertainers. By the way, this is not a Nehru jacket, though. It is a sweater jacket that was a gift.
I must tell you, I'm pretty
confused by it, because you can immediately, not that anybody cares, but I will show you in the blink of an eye, it is now a sport coat.
Okay, well, I could see a little bit more of the draping of it now in the construction of it, but I thought surely, and I was going to see if you were just going to do leisure suits tomorrow,
Yeah, I once had a friend in college, I'll never forget this. He bought a lime leisure suit, and he wore it to a party, and I'm telling you what, I mean, I've never seen one person get made fun of more than this poor guy. And I remember his name. I'm not going to embarrass him, although I should.
I can see now, because of the delay in the radio and television, I can see your collar much better now. And
yeah.
I must say, that looks a lot more attractive. But I was just wondering, I have seen some of those early pictures of you when you were a young fellow.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a lot of hair. So I just didn't know if,
I could never afford a Nehru jacket when I was a kid. But now, hey, I finally bought one.